You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and finally, welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I'm your co-host, the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me as always, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's happening, man?
New Year, same me, because I'm awesome and there's no reason to change. I am excited about 2019. It started off big this morning. You know what? I grind so hard. I went to work last year and didn't come back until this year.
Working that life away, huh?
Yeah. The overnight shift, man, it messes you up, dude. You don't go to you don't go to work the same day, and you know leave the same day. So I generally have a problem with what day it is. I'm like, great thing is that this is a whole new year, so it's day one.
Right,
We on our day one-ish. not a lot of podcasts recording today, so.
I know, I would venture to guess that we are one of the very few that's starting off the year on January 1, so big props to, we're going to give ourselves a little pat on the back there. Bop. Dude, so you mentioned big starting off early this morning, so I know what you're referring to, and we're referring to All Elite Wrestling, man. The Young Bucks, Cody, Hangman Page, Marty Scurll announcing on Being the Elite, which you said it was released at 2 a.m. Central Time? Is that what time it was released?
It was 2 a.m. Central Time. That was midnight Pacific. It's one of the few times working my jacked up shift actually worked out for me.
And what they did was is they announced that there is in fact going to be an All Elite Wrestling, and they announced that there is going to be an All In 2 entitled Double or Nothing, man.
So All In 2 will be technically the first show under the All Elite Wrestling banner.
Oh, so it's for sure going to be the first one?
Yeah, it's going to be the first show.
Gotcha. Cool, man. Well, you said that you read a little bit into it. Do we have any insider information? Do we know, is the company like a company yet, or what's the deal? What do you got for us?
Trademarks and everything's a sign. The company is a company. It shares the same address as the Jacksonville Jaguars football team. So it's going to be owned and operated by Tony Khan, who is the son of the Khan that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. I always forget his actual first name.
Right.
But he's been a wrestling fan and has been an observer subscriber since the 90s.
Oh, wow.
He is not like, oh, I got a lot of money and I kind of like wrestling. He's been a hardcore wrestling fan for over 20 years, and they are richer than the McMahons.
They're certified like multi-billionaires, right?
Yes. It's like they can easily put $500-600 million into this company, and it doesn't hurt them.
That's insane.
And people will invest because the cons are investing, and they don't generally make bad business deals. They know what they do. They're going to go 100%. So the news we got, so on the BTE episode, we just got, a bunch of dramatics, and then the countdown ended, and they looked at their phones, and you saw Matt, Nick, and Cody, they all had they all had the double or nothing symbol. And then Hangman says, mine says something different, and his was the logo for All Elite Wrestling. So, honestly, the BTE show with the countdown didn't tell us anything we didn't already know. I mean, that's been speculated for about a month or two. That was going to be called All Elite Wrestling, and they had already trademarked the name Double or Nothing.
Right, well, right.
Well, I remembered, because I had never used it, that I had your account information for Wrestling Observer Radio.
Right.
I didn't remember. So I went ahead and signed in and listened. And Dave Meltzer did about 15 minutes, and he gave a little bit more color to it. First of all, they announced a press conference January 8th, so a week from today at 4 o'clock at the Jacksonville Stadium. It's like the TDIIT Bank Stadium. So it's going to be at 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern. And they invited all their fans for that. So I guess they're going to give more color on what date All In 2 will be, and any more information you might have. You'll notice on the if you notice on the board, Kenny Omega is not scheduled to appear right now. It is everybody but Omega, and I don't think Marty's on the poster either.
Oh, so they've already got a poster out. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that was they have a Twitter name. They have the All Elite Wrestling has a Twitter.
Really?
So I've been following them for a while. So you can just go to All Elite, and it's like they have a little video talking about Double or Nothing and the special announcement. So yeah, it's going to be SCU, all of SCU, Nick and Matt Jackson, Cody, Hangman, and Brandy. Those are people. Of course, Marty Scurll is still under contract with ROH for now, because he signed a little longer contract. It's TIAA Bankfield, and it's at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central next week, and it's called the Double or Nothing Rally. So they're probably going to announce the date for Double or Nothing. I have it based on inside information, can't tell you who dropped this, because when I was at NWA 70 and I got the autograph, Cody said May. Well, I have this friend that knows a lot more than me. And they told me it's probably going to be Memorial Day weekend, so the show will probably be May 25th.
May 25th?
May 25th.
Okay.
And if you leave the Young Bucks, which everything that you said has been true, it's going to be somewhere in that Los Angeles area.
Okay. Yeah, are talking about, or we heard them talk about, they would love to do it in SoCal, like in a perfect world. We heard them say that. You and I have talked about that. They said that in an interview. It was a little while back, you know, they were talking about in a perfect world. They also mentioned places like Las Vegas. You even got to think maybe... you know, I'm sure, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not putting any stock in one city or the other, but, you know, with the cons owning the company, you can't take a, you know, might even be in Florida somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if they did it in Vegas, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool.
That's 2 weeks before my birthday.
Ah, so you could just stay a month in Vegas then. Yeah. Celebrate All In and then your birthday.
So I'm excited about that. The other news, the only person under contract is Cody, as of right now.
Okay.
The Young Bucks are in negotiations. I think Hangman Page is in negotiations, but it's pretty much certain them and SCU are going to sign. What other information do I have?
What about a TV deal?
Yes, apparently they are. Because of the success of All In, there are several TV that are like bidding on getting this offering from All In. Meltzer's like, I can't name the names, of course, because that's how he stays Dave Meltzer, is he doesn't say what he's not supposed to. But he said there are several that want to do it. Because of All In, like, let's say like Ring of Honor or whatever, they come in, they're not going to get the TV deal because they don't, you know, they there's no proven record. Because of All In, they have a proven, this is what we can do. We can draw 10,000. We can have a high-energy crowd. You know, they're the Beatles of wrestling. I've said that several times right now. They're a boy band, so it's like they draw no matter where they go. Like, I'm sitting on Twitter, and people are literally booking flights to Jacksonville so they can be there next week.
Wow, just for the announcement.
Just for the announcement. People are literally going out of their way, borrowing money, getting time off from work so they can fly to Jacksonville for probably what's going to be an hour, maybe 2 hour announcement of where All In's going to be.
Wow, that is insane.
Yeah, and I mean, that's how hardcore their fan base is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Meltzer also said, all the names you think, they're negotiating with. So, apparently, the guy outbid for Bandido, that's why he's with ROH. But he didn't say any names. But, you know, Gallows and Anderson's contracts are up with the WWE soon. AJ Styles' contract's up with the WWE soon. Shinsuke Nakamura's contract's up with the WWE soon. So, I imagine those are big names. And you think about it, anybody else lower on the roster, mid or whatever, that, you know, contract is up, you know, it's like, hey, if you don't like your spot, you know, you have somewhere else to go. And they said this will be the first legitimate place where you can make legitimate money other than it'll match WCW, basically.
Really?
Yeah, so this is, they said it's going to be, this is going to be the best thing for the wrestling business. Of course, with WWE seeing them as a threat, they'll try to ramp up and, you know, make their products better every week. Because, you know, they're going to have a company, they're going to have a wrestling company that can match their production.
Yeah, yeah, I can see your point. I do imagine that this will be great for the wrestling business, because I imagine All Elite Wrestling doesn't want to come in at number two or number three. They would eventually like to be the number one wrestling organization in North America, I would imagine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's opening up a lot of doors. A specific name he used was Brody King. How Brody King just signed with ROH, and he was like, Brody King is still kind of green. You know, and in general, back in the day, before all this competition came up for people like him, he probably would have had to stay on the indies about 2 or 3 more years and then got signed with ROH. But because the business is trending towards, you need people, you know, you need people, you know, it's people like him that might not have considered ready before, they're going to go ahead and sign. You know, like someone like Nick Aldis is going to be very, very valuable, you know, because, you know, that's going to give the people of the NWA, since they don't run their own promotion, it's going to, you know, Nick Aldis, Willie Mack, whoever, you know, their tag champs are, you know, they're going to be valuable because they can work in any company.
Yeah. Now, How do I say this? Do you really think that is Nick Aldis still worth a lot of money without the NWA title?
No. I mean, he's a hand. So that's what I'm like. He's a known, because of the NWA, he is a known entity.
Right.
He's
right.
Somebody that you can put in your world title or whatever your intercontinental title equivalent is, and it's going to give respect to that belt.
Right. But do you think, like, if he drops the NWA title to someone else on the indie scene and then tries to come into AEW, would you consider him a draw?
I don't consider him a draw. I consider him a talented wrestler.
Gotcha.
That you need those type of people on your roster.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
You need people that can just work, you know, even though you might not like Bobby. He's like, I put him on a Bobby Roode level. Bobby Roode wasn't a draw until he got the Glorious Music. You know what I mean? He was just a guy. Right. You know? And it's like Nick Aldis is kind of just a guy, but he's a really good wrestler. He can cut a promo. He can put on a feud. And that's the whole thing. Because of the NWA the way he is, he doesn't have to drop his NWA title.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I didn't figure that. I figure they probably want to keep that title on him for a while because him and Billy Corgan have proven to be a great tag team, and they're really building that NWA name back up. In my, you know, from where I'm sitting, it seems pretty awesome what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, and it's just like, and Corgan and the NWA have a great working relationship with the Elite. I mean, because All In and everything, and the NWA 70, they have a working relationship. So it's like, you know, they can scratch each other's back as far as putting talent on and everything. And like I said, they might not have any use for all this, but I just know all this is a solid hand. And like I said, his value went up now that there's going to be an arms race for talent.
Right, yeah. Is there any word on if New Japan or Ring of Honor will have any type of working relationship with AEW, or is there any speculation or anything?
No, it is very clear that AEW wants the New Japan working relationship. They want a working relationship with New Japan. Everybody on their roster has worked with New Japan, and they want to continue. Cody has made it clear that the one thing he wants to do before he's all said and done, he wants to work in G1. So they think it's important to establish that New Japan relationship, and it's basically New Japan is going to be able to pick who they want. And big thing is, I mean, if you're asking what I think they're going to pick AEW, just because they're Elite. I mean, they're draws in America, as opposed to ROH. After Marty Scurll leaves, who's their draw?
Right.
Right.
They don't have one.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't. The ROH name, I think, draws more than Jay Lethal does. I love Jay Lethal, don't get me wrong. But I don't know if you remember when he had his really long title run, he had Cyrus behind him, or I forgot who, or I forgot what the guy's name was. He had a manager that did most of the talking that made him interesting. Jay Lethal, on his own, can't really. He cuts very boring wrestler promos. he cuts like 80s promos.
Right.
So even like in the mannerisms when he's cutting it, it's just like everything he says sounds angry. And it's just like, it's not a conversation with the audience. I mean, I'm not going to go into the reasons that Jay Lethal's not good at promos. I'm just going to say it's just they don't have a draw in ROH. And I think when some of the contracts come up in ROH, AEW is going to be able to outbid them.
Yeah.
If they want them, they're going to be able to take them. And, yeah, because, I mean, seriously, AEW announcing, right? They're going to ask, so whatever stadium they do in LA is going to sell out. And without a doubt, they're already going to be positioning themselves as the second biggest company. And, like, I think of right now, like, if I was naming American companies, I go like this. I go WWE, main roster, NXT, then ROH.
Mm-hmm.
That, in that order. It's like WWE's number two is their own brand. Yeah. I mean, the number two in wrestling in America is the second brand for WWE. Because, you know what? ROH is like, oh, we sold out Madison Square Garden. NXT sold out Barclays 3 times.
Uh-huh.
It's not even them selling out a stadium is not even a big deal to them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of got to give Ring of Honor a little bit of credit though, because they did it. They sold out Madison Square Garden paying their with stars that don't even have half the name that some of the WWE stars do, right?
I mean, not taking anything away from ROH. I am an ROH Honor Club subscriber. I love ROH. The Elite sold out that show.
That's a fair point. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I bought my ticket from my friend, assuming the Elite would be there in some capacity.
Right.
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. But I bought my ticket, assuming Cody would be there in some capacity.
Right, yeah, and I guess because of the, as far as we know right now, because of the All Elite announcement and everything, that these guys that we predict are going to go with AEW are not going to be on ROH TV anymore, wouldn't you assume?
Yeah, I don't even think any, I mean, they may, but I don't even think any of them will be in New York WrestleMania weekend. The reason I say that is because if you're thinking about it, their big show is in May, right?
Okay.
It's the next month. So if you can meet and greet and all that stuff with all the elite in New York, why would you, you know, if that was one of your only reasons to go to All In, why would you go ahead and do it the next one? I'm thinking they're going to try to make themselves scarce so everybody wants to be wherever their next location is.
Yeah, I could see that, but I just can't imagine. That's a, you know, WrestleMania weekend for big indie stars like, who's a good example? Like someone like a Hangman Page, for instance. That would be a big payday. You know, like Joey Ryan, I think last year during WrestleMania, he was at six different shows. You figure, let's say he gets paid $500 a show, you know, that's, well, yeah, that's $3,000 for 2 or 3 days worth of work. So I would have to believe that maybe not all together, but at least some of them would want to work that weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see Cody and the Bucks skipping it. They don't need the money. But yeah, you are absolutely correct. Hangman, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, they could definitely, I mean, you're going to need people to work the Super Shows that weekend, so you're definitely going to use those people.
Right,
I can imagine a lot of Impact guys getting work dates and work, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I do totally agree with you, though. I think this is going to be awesome for the wrestling business as a whole because, if nothing else, it's going to open up just that many more slots in Ring of Honor and New Japan for people that are on the indie scene right now, you know, because these guys are going to be basically moving up in stature to go with AEW. So now all of these Ring of Honor and, you know, indie super show slots are opened up for these guys that are, you know, starting to hit the 6, 7, 8 years of experience and really honing in their skills on the indie scene. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a fairly good-sized turnover at the top and open up way more avenues for some guys. So I think it's going to be really cool, man. I think we're going to have a really fun 2019 in the wrestling world.
Yeah, if you are a wrestler right now and you're not signed or anything like that, your level just took one step up.
Yeah.
But just like let's say I'm just going to use him as an example because, you know, we talk about him. Let's say Malico, who is, you know, like one of the biggest names, the bigger names to book in Oklahoma, Texas. He just took a step up because a lot of people that they were like booking for every show, they're not going to have. So he's probably, his bookings, if done correctly, his bookings are going to probably go way up.
Right, right. Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah, because you figure, you know, like, what is it, Game Changer Wrestling down near San Antonio and Pro Wrestling Revolver that Sammy Callahan runs, and, you know, all these places are going to be pulling from the indie scenes even more so than usual because, you know, some of their stars that they book on a regular basis will now be, you know, I would assume exclusively contracted to AEW, and some of them might sign WWE contracts because I figure WWE is probably going to expand their roster a little bit to try to tie up some of these really talented up and coming wrestlers, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. So, like, what I was going to say is, like, someone you like, we have a local company here that books like Jack Swagger, Chavo Guerrero, Johnny Morrison.
Right.
These companies are going to start, you know, trying to get more exclusive. Like, you only work for us. So that might not necessarily be an option anymore.
Right.
It's just, like I said, it's just some people like, let's say like the Hurricane, you know, the tide's going to raise and people like that, that like get the once and, you know, they get it a weekend shot or not. They're going to be like, okay, we need talent. We need people that can work. You know, you have to fill out a roster. You know, the elite just can't say, oh, here's our six guys and they all wrestle each other. They need opponents. They need heels. They need a women's division problem, you know?
Yeah. Oh, is there any word, speaking of that, is there any word on a women's division at all for AEW?
not said anything about a women's division, titles, anything. It was just like literally they gave the two logos, and then Dave Meltzer talked about 15 minutes, and it was more alluded to stuff he couldn't say than he did. But he did give us a little color. Like I said, Cody and the Bucks and Hangman should be signed before the press conference next week.
Sweet. Yeah, and the press conference you said is on January 8th? Is that correct?
January 8th.
Sweet, sweet.
So it is next Tuesday. It is at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, and it is at the TIA Bank Field in Jacksonville, Florida. They've already put out, I was going to say this, they already put out on ProWrestlingTees.com, if you want to be the first, they have the AEW t-shirts there with the AEW logo on it. They have and a hoodie. Then they have the all Double or Nothing t-shirt and a hoodie. And they have hats for AEW and hats for Double or Nothing.
Wow, man. This wasn't obviously, wrestling fans knew this because, you don't just make an episode of Being the Elite, 2 hours before you air it. It takes some time. But this really shows how prepared they were to spring this on all of us as fans because, like you just detailed, there's hoodies, shirts, t-shirts, sweatshirts already at Pro Wrestling Tees being made and already selling, So, they really, there's a press conference booked from 7 days from today. And then there was a whole 8-minute Being the Elite episode that was strictly about the announcement of All In, Double or Nothing and All Elite Wrestling. So they, of course, like you said earlier in the show, we've known about this. We've speculated about it for a couple of months now. Most notably whenever it came to light that they had signed or they had patent, what's the word I'm looking for? They had pretty much booked their, yeah, they had booked their trademarks. They say they paid for their trademarks and stuff. So we knew it was coming, but leave it to Cody and the Young Bucks to still manage to be on the front page of every wrestling website, because of the way they announced it and how they, even though it wasn't kept under wraps, at the same time, it kind of was kept under wraps because no one was expecting the announcement, on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day like they did,
Okay, so it's been up for 6 hours. How many views do you think it has?
21,000.
You were about really low. It's at 77,000 views already.
What? 77,000?
Views in 5 hours.
And they didn't drop it till midnight.
They dropped it at 2 o'clock our time. So from 2 to 7:58, there's been 77,000 people that viewed it.
Jeez. Us as wrestling fans need to get lives, bro. We need to be getting off YouTube and going to bed.
Dude, because I'm up all night, so I'm on Twitter, and people are like, oh, my God, they literally stayed up. I had one friend that stayed up to 2 and then had to be at work at 6. They just needed to know. It's like I said, when I say they are boy band, they are the Beatles, that's their equivalent in wrestling.
Yeah, they are definitely the hottest thing in wrestling right now. It's pretty cool to see and pretty awesome to be a part of as it unfolds and just getting to be a fan at this time because it's really awesome. This is kind of the indie scene boom right now is really our the adult me's attitude era. Because yes. I lived through the attitude era, but I was a kid. I didn't have the opportunity to go to shows whenever they were close, because I was 8-9 years old. So now that, I'm a grown man and I get to see this indie scene and I work in wrestling full time and then, I'm trying to become a wrestler and then to see this indie scene boom, it's really cool, man. It's really awesome to be a wrestling fan right now, and it's really awesome to have a show with a good friend like you and I do because we get to talk about and speculate about some of our favorite wrestlers of all time you know, their show that their second show that they're going to be doing pretty soon, which, like you said, is almost a guarantee to sell out at least 10 or 15,000 seats, you know?
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Like I said, people are just trying to, they just want to be in the atmosphere, in the hemisphere, wherever these guys are at, you know? Even people that are like, man, I don't know a lot about a wrestling, they have their favorite member of the Elite. I mean, there's like, you know, even Hangman has his strong contingent. I mean, you looked at the Pro Wrestling Tee sales. He was 10, you know?
Oh, he was number 10 for the year?
Yeah. Every member of the Elite was in the top 10.
Wow.
Like, the Young Bucks were one, of course. Number two was Kenny Omega. Three was Marty Scurll. And four was Cody.
Wow.
And then Paige was down at 10. And it's just like, that's how popular they are. They are a boy band as far as, and like I said, only in popularity sakes. They all have different personalities, different way of doing things, but they have such loyal fan base. Like I said, their normal episodes generally get about, you know, 200,000 views. This Elite episode is going to, I think it's just going to hit it a lot quicker.
Yeah, I think so. If you had to guesstimate how many seats that they were, or how big of a stadium they will try to run all into Double or Nothing, how big would you venture a guess? Would you say that they go another 50% higher, so 15,000 seats, or you think they're going to try to double it with 20,000 seats? What would you, if you had to speculate?
I think they want to do 20,000 seats. If they could do the Staples Center, they would. But I believe they even mentioned that the WWE has like an exclusive wrestling contract with them.
Right.
So I think they're going to definitely go 15. I think the 15 is the smallest they go.
Okay. And that's a big jump still. You know, it doesn't sound, you know, because we just talked about 20, you know, and then we go down to 15, you know, in our minds we're thinking, oh, that's not that big of a jump. But another 5,000 seats, like, that's a huge jump. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And people are going to be itching to buy the tickets because it's sold out so quickly. Everybody's going to be jumping on to try to get their tickets because there is a sense of urgency when it comes to their tickets.
Right, yeah. And you're totally right because... Because no one wants to, you know, people want to get them at face value. They don't want to have to go on to StubHub and pay four times as much, even though they will. You know, we will as fans because, you know, like you alluded to earlier in the show, you put the Young Bucks, you put the Elite on a show and you know it's going to be a good show, you know?
Yeah, and they're going to put it all. What I look forward to is them. I don't, you know, I've heard talks of the weekly show and the TV show. I want to see how they book a weekly show, because you know that's one of the biggest things WWE, as far as if you have people that have ever written for them or did anything backstage, they speak to how difficult it is to put on a week-to-week show.
Yeah,
so I would like to see how they do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you mentioned earlier that Cody said before it's all said and done he wants to work a G1.
Yeah, he definitely wants to work at G1.
With him talking like that, do you think that retiring from full-time in-ring action is in his near future? Is he wanting to take a bigger prominent role backstage, or what do you think?
I think he wants to do both. I think he thinks he's at that point where he can do both. I think he's only 34, so I don't see – he's never – The Bucks have said we don't plan on doing this forever. The Bucks say yeah, they say they don't plan on doing this forever, and they're gonna basically quit. They're gonna quit, earlier than everyone thinks. Cody thinks he's a lifer. He's very much, you know, wrestling's in his blood. He's gonna be in a lifer. So I think Cody's gonna be the one that still works at 50 and 60 if he feels the spot's needed. But I think their ultimate goal, and I think it's to work with the cons, is to bring their lead in, and they're going to help establish the brand, and then they're going to try to build new characters because, like, as they all, you know, they don't, you know, some of them don't want to wrestle forever. And the future of the Elite is, of course, Adam Page. He's the youngest one. He's the big one. He's good looking. They're going to get behind him.
Right, right. Yeah, I and it's such a fun time to be a wrestling fan right now, you know? It's so fun to be a wrestling journalist right now because we get to speculate on all this stuff. And I'll definitely be counting down the days to January 8th and
Yeah,
the press conference.
I mean, seriously, AJ Styles has to be one of the happiest men in the world right now.
Why do you say that?
Because let's say when he was hot and he was a commodity when he left, basically left New Japan last time, he could basically name his number because he was so hot, you know? Now the WWE is like, well, there's really nobody that can offer you what we're going to offer you. So they might just like, well, you know, we want a 5-year deal, not a 3-year deal. And basically, you had nowhere else to go, right?
Right.
AJ Styles has somewhere else to go now.
I see it. I
That's
see your point. Yeah, he could.
going to pony up. He's like, oh, you don't want me to go to All Elite Wrestling? Well, I only want a 3-year deal.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And that's actually a good that makes it better for so many wrestlers in WWE now because they could be looking at a marked increase in their yearly salary, right?
Yeah, like people like Zack Ryder, people that are just not getting used and that have been around the Revival, you know. The Revival, the Young Bucks are huge fans of the Revival. You know, people that normally might not be happy with their spot in the WWE. I'm not saying they aren't. I'm just saying people that might not be happy with, oh, we have this other company that I can go and basically, the booking is going to be done by wrestlers. The show is going to be done by wrestlers, and I can show what I can actually do.
Right. Yeah, man, that's pretty awesome. It looks like it's gonna be a fun next 7 days getting to speculate about all this stuff, and then no telling how much stuff we'll have to talk about after the press conference on January 8th, man.
You know it's big news when I jump on. Like I said, I never had used Wrestling Observer. I had never logged into this site. I jumped in and listened to the whole show. I just looking for any tidbits I could get, any extra information I could share. But like I said, about 15, 20 minutes into the show, it just became basically a review for Wrestle Kingdom.
Right. Yeah. Well, man, we're coming up on 37 minutes already, so we were gonna talk a little bit about some of the biggest stories in WWE, but we might need to push that till tomorrow morning because we've talked so much about All Elite Wrestling and All In Double or Nothing, so we might just call it quits now and get up on thechairshot.com. Why don't you, before we leave, tell us where you spend your weekends and if y'all have any big plans for around the ring in 2019 between you and Ryan?
Around the ring. It's Sundays. It's on up before noon on thechairshot.com. It's me and my friend Ryan the Great, and we're gonna kind of, I wouldn't call it rebrand, but you're gonna see an updated look from around the ring. You might see a new logo. You might see like a new ultimate o opening intro. This month, I just decided when they do this, we're gonna try to drive people to listen to the show and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. So we're gonna probably, not even probably, we're gonna be giving away All Elite Wrestling merch. So we're gonna give a T-shirt and a hat away and see if they can get some people to listen because it's the hot new brand. I believe that's gonna start this Sunday.
Sweet, man. Well, I can't wait to hear this week's episode, the first one of 2019. As always, dude, I learn something from you every single day. Today I learned about 25 new things with All Elite Wrestling and everything going on, but always a joy to do the show with you. For everyone out there, don't forget to follow Floyd on all social media outlets, follow Indie Wrestling Radio and myself, Jordan Fox. For Floyd and myself, everyone have a happy new year and stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?